The CBC presents
Canadian Snapshot. Canada. Its people, its romance, its good humor, and its colorful attractions. Caught by the lens of the radio camera, it sweeps once more across the nation's vast panorama, with music also by one of Canada's native composers. Snapshot number one.
We turn our camera upon one of Canada's maritime provinces,
New Brunswick.
On the north, Quebec.
On the west, our friendly next-door neighbor, the state of Maine.
On the east, the Gulf of St. Lawrence.
And on the south, the tides of the Bay of Fundy.
Tides of the Bay of Fundy are the highest in the whole world. Why, I've seen them in places along the coast rising more than 50 feet.
At my hometown of Munson on the Petticoatiac River, you can see the tidal bore, a solid wall. Molten silver that almost makes your heart stand still. It's so beautiful.
And just above the mouth of our St. John River, you can see the reversing fall. They're the queerest thing you ever saw, flowing down to the sea at low tide and flowing back inland when the tide sets in. And right in the St. John Harbor, you can land salmon the like of which you never hook anywhere else.
Don't you believe it? Up here in the north of the province on the Restigouche River is the place for you seasoned fishermen who want the thrill of landing real beauties.
Yeah, but what about our Miramichi River?
Yes, and the Upsoquitch.
Yeah, and the Pisiquit.
A fisherman's paradise.
Go where you will in New Brunswick, you'll be certain of finding streams and waterways teeming with fish, where the angler will enjoy really fine fishing.
Snapshot number two.
The scene of this view is the dining table of a modest boarding house in Huntsville, one of Ontario's foremost winter resorts.
You enjoy your week here, Mr. Perry.
Thank you.
You don't ski, do you?
Do I? I've looked forward to this for weeks.
Oh.
And what skiing weather we're having right now. Real powder snow and just the right amount of cold. I'll show some of the experts here a thing or two.
I'm sorry you ski, Mr. Perry.
Well, why, Mrs. Carson?
Every year I see young men like you come to Huntsville to ski. It's so sad. Would you please pass me the bread?
Bread? Yes. What's sad about it?
Thank you. Well, there was Mr. Greenlee, who stayed here last week. Oh, it was too bad. Pickles?
Well, I'm beginning to think, Mrs. Carson, you're trying to frighten me into going back home.
Well, it happened last Wednesday over Limberlost way. It was all so sudden and shocking. Such a fine-looking young gentleman, too. Can't I give you another helping of potatoes?
Yes, thanks. But, Mr. Greenlee, you don't mean...
Oh, yes, poor Mr. Greenlee. Well, there they found him. Sprawled out in the snow, his face turned up to the sky.
Dead?
Dead, no. But he did hurt his ankle awful bad. Sprained it, he did.
Is that all?
Well, I...
You had me going there for a minute. Ah, what's a sprain or two? As long as I'm able to hobble onto the train when I'm to leave, I don't care what I sprain.
Oh.
The CNR will see that I get home from there. A great outfit, the CNR. 20,000 miles of service. I'm an employee of theirs.
Who would have thought it? 20,000 miles. Oh, but it doesn't beat the railroad over at Lake of Bay.
Now, don't tell me you've got a railroad here longer than the CNR. Why, that would just about make it the longest in the world.
Of course it's not the longest in the world. But they do say it's the shortest.
Yes, the shortest complete railway system in the world, owned and operated by an individual company, is the Portage Railroad, 1 mile long, joining Peninsular Lake with Lake of Bays, Ontario.
It's a fact.
Snapshot number 3, tonight's representative among Canadian composers.
Hector Grattan, 35 years old, Montreal born, is a well-known figure in the musical circles of Canada's metropolis.
He has caught the spirit of the French-Canadian folk tunes and has blended with his own individual style to express something new and unique in Canadian music.
Hector Grattan's original and specially composed music is used as a background to one of the CBC's French network programs, Maria Chapdelaine.
We shall now hear Hector Grattan's Rondo for Strings and Piano. The orchestra is under the direction of Samuel Hirsenhorn.
Just heard Rondo for Strings and Piano
by tonight's Canadian composer, Hector Grattan.
Snapshot number 4.
Canada, the land of the maple.
The United States, the land of the stars and stripes. For over 125 years, the hands of the United States and the Dominion of Canada have been clasped in unbroken friendship.
Material witness of this friendship can be found everywhere along the boundary joining, not separating, the two countries.
4,000 miles of unprotected borders.
The great bridge over the Thousand Islands in the St. Lawrence River, built by both governments.
The International Peace Garden on the imaginary line dividing Manitoba and North Dakota.
But as a sure sign of mutual understanding, nothing surpasses the activities of 4 towns on the international boundary.
On the Canadian side, St. Stephen and Milltown in New Brunswick.
On the American, Calais and Milltown in Maine.
Here is cooperation between different nations at its best. Their water all comes from a common spring. A Canadian plant supplies the electric power, and the United States supplies household gas.
The hospital at St. Stephen, New Brunswick, serves the people of all 4 towns.
Here in this hospital waits an expectant father who has brought his wife from Calais across the border.
Oh, nurse.
Yes, Mr. Norris.
What's happening, nurse?
Nothing as yet, Mr. Norris.
Oh.
Now do be patient, Mr. Norris. Everything's all right.
All right? Do you know I've been waiting here for over 6 hours? And you say it's all right. Gosh, if you'd only let me see her or something.
Well, if it'll relieve you, I'll go inside and inquire. Well, here's one of our interns, Dr. Carroll. He'll look after you. Dr. Carroll, this is Mr. Norris. His wife is about to have a baby.
Oh, congratulations, Mr. Norris. Hmm. Have a cigarette?
No, thanks. I don't smoke.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It'll quieten your nerves. Have one. Light? First one, eh?
Just about. I never cared for them.
Oh, not the cigarette. The baby, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Kind of worried about it. You know how a fellow feels.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it'll be a boy?
You never can tell. Chancy little thing. But you won't be disappointed.
Oh, I kind of wished it to be a boy. So I'd be sure the family name would be carried on.
Well, maybe we'll know now. Here comes Miss King again.
Anything happened, nurse?
It's all over, Mr. Norris. Oh. Your wife came through it splendidly. And congratulations. It's a boy.
Did you hear that, doctor? Did you hear that? Oh, it kind of awes me. To think that I, Jack Norris, have added another citizen to the United States.
And don't forget, Mr. Norris, another citizen to Canada, too.
You don't mean it? It was twins?
Oh, no, Mr. Norris. But your boy, being born in Canada of American parents, will have dual nationality.
Yes, a child born in Canada of American parentage automatically acquires the right of United States citizenship as well as Canadian.
Is that right?
Yes, it's a fact.
Snapshot number 5.
Once again, the music of Hector Grattan, young French-Canadian composer.
The work to be heard is Chanson et Danse for solo violin and orchestra.
The soloist is Harry Adaskin.
Mr. Adaskin, accompanied by the orchestra under the direction of Samuel Hersenhorn, now plays Chanson et Danse by Hector Grattan. You have just heard Harry Adaskin and the orchestra playing Chanson et Danse, the second of two compositions by the Montreal composer Hector Grattan.
Snapshot number six.
Each year, thousands of sportsmen travel with gun and guide into the far-flung hunting grounds of Canada.
Such a hunter and guide we now find at the end of a successful day sitting around their campfire.
Oui, monsieur. That was one fine moose you shoot today, Mr. Young. The antler, the horn, you know? It must have spread, well, more than 7 feet, eh?
No, Jack. No exaggerating. Let's say 5 feet.
Oh, bon Dieu. I never see bigger animal than this.
Never, Jacques?
Well, no, except the grizzly bear. That's the biggest animal you can hunt in Canada, you know.
Would you believe it, Jacques? I once hunted an animal that was much, much bigger.
Oh, well, maybe you go hunting in Africa for elephant, no?
No, it was right here in Canada. This animal was 100 times larger than your grizzly bear.
100? No, you make a joke, eh? Hey, what do you use to hunt him? Field cannons?
Huh? No. All we used was spades.
Oh, you dig him up, eh? That's an animal that live in the ground? That's maybe a prairie dog, huh?
No, it wasn't a prairie dog we were hunting, but it was on the prairies in Alberta, along the banks of the Red Deer River. You see, the animals I'm talking about are dead, have been for millions of years. They call them dinosaurs, and you have to dig if you want to hunt them.
You aren't a dead animal? Well, that sounds crazy to me.
But not so crazy to the scientists who have dug for them. For over 40 years, the Red Deer River Valley in Alberta has been famous for the fossil remains of dinosaurs, the huge prehistoric monsters who once roamed this part of Canada.
Notable collections of these remains can be seen in many of the fine museums in Canadian cities.
Snapshot number seven. This week's prize-winning actuality, sent in by Mrs. A. Lawson of 10908 Plaza Boulevard, Montreal North.
Quebec, the gray old city on the hill, lies with a golden glory on her head, dreaming throughout this hour so fair, so still, of other days, and her beloved dead.
Quebec, that has witnessed the most stirring scenes in Canadian history beneath her ancient citadel, is a city where the romance of the past lurks around every corner.
Tonight, through the eyes of our special events department, we shall look around one of those corners, and there we shall find the narrowest street in all Canada.
This unusual snapshot was taken in Quebec City.
It's a fact that we're speaking to you at this moment from the oldest and narrowest street in Canada's oldest city, a street called Sous le Cap, in the very heart of Lower Quebec. Those of you who know Quebec will, of course, know Sous le Cap, for it's famous as a point of interest to visitors. But for those of us who don't know it, and there are a lot of interesting points that we don't know, we're going to spend the next few minutes finding out what we can. In the first place, Sous le Cap means under the Cape, and certainly that name suits the street perfectly. It's at the very foot of the great towering Cape Diamond, famous as the site of Quebec City's first fort, and famous today for the massive structure of the Chateau Frontenac, which towers high over us. The very first thing you notice when you enter Sous le Cap is its narrowness. You notice that the traffic sign firmly insists upon one-way traffic, but as you look about, you wonder how even one car could get through. And as a matter of fact, there's about, I think, 3 or 4 inches clearance in some spots and no more. Well, then, the narrowness of the street is the very first thing that strikes you, the minute that you come into it. The second thing that strikes you, I think even before you've had a chance to look around, is the youngsters, children who actually live on this street and who make a point of running after you and asking in their own unique way for pennies. Matter of fact, we're surrounded by children right at this moment. Maybe you've been noticing that. And already I think we've handed out quite a tidy sum in coppers. But the children aren't at all offensive. In fact, there's something rather appealing about them. And although this is, I think, definitely one of the underprivileged parts of the city, the kiddies themselves are healthy enough looking specimens and make quite a picture wrapped up in thick winter clothes. And then, as you walk along the street with about a dozen youngsters trailing along right behind you, it sort of gives you a Pied Piper of Hamelin feeling, and quite a pleasant one, too. But so much for the children right at the moment. Right now, we've been walking along, and right now, we've stopped in front of one of the few stores which have access to Sula Cat. Actually, I'll see by looking up the sign, this is Mr. Mercier's store. And actually, this is the back door, because the store runs the width of a block and fronts on St. Paul Street, which is just to the south of us. But this definitely looks like one of the older establishments of the lower town, and I think we'll perhaps be able to find out more about the history of this narrow street. Let's just go in and see if we can find the proprietor. How do you do, sir? Are you, by any chance, the owner of the store here?
Oui, monsieur.
And in that case, then, would you be Mr. Messier?
Sure I am.
That's fine. Well, now, I wonder if you could tell us what you can about Sula Cat. What do you know about it? I mean, we're interested in knowing whether we were right in saying that it is the oldest street in Quebec. Is that a fact?
It's the oldest street, sure.
Yeah, that's right, eh? And tell me, has it always been called Sula Cat?
No, not exactly. And if we find it, we'll find out in by the plan of St. Charles, the old plan of Quebec, that in 1833, this street was called Sotomatlow Street.
I see. Well, what does that mean? Do you know?
Well, Sotomatlow is a street that runs now on the south of the city, just in front of the river.
Oh, I see. So it was in 1833, then, that they first began calling this Sula Cat?
Yes, a few years after, 5 years after, they called it Sula Cat Street.
And it's been that ever since?
Since, sure.
Well, now, the buildings, as I look up and down this street, most of the buildings look pretty old. Do you know if any of them have any particular historical interest, Mr. Messier?
Sure, there is one here not far from here, about 15 feet from here.
That one just across the way, eh?
That's across the way, yes. This building was built in 1823. And if I remember well, this building was once occupied by the Hudson Bay Company.
Well, that is a very interesting fact. Well, I imagine that'll be one of the first buildings they ever occupied in Canada. Would it?
It would be, yes.
I see. Well, now to get back to the subject of these youngsters who are all around us again, I know that asking for pennies is the thing that they specialize in, and I imagine most of those pennies finally end up in your store, don't they?
Sometimes they do.
I see. Well, now, do you know if the kiddies can sing or anything like that?
Oh, sure, they can sing.
Well, look, I wonder if you'd talk to them. I can't speak enough French, I'm afraid, but you talk to them, ask them if they'll sing for us right now, and we'll see if we can find some pennies to give them afterwards, eh?
All right, I'll try.
Okay.
Huh? Chantez vous autres, les gars, là.
Well, that's just fine. We'd like to stay and hear some more from the youngsters here in Sula Cat, but time's up and we're going to have to be in our way. But if any time you feel that you'd like to step back out of the 20th century into a slice of Quebec City as it was almost two centuries ago, just drop down and see Sula Cat, this oldest, narrowest street in Quebec's oldest city, which hasn't changed much, we imagine, since the days of Wolfe and Montcalm. We think you'll really enjoy the experience. But one thing, be sure you're well supplied with pennies, or else the youngsters will see to it that your journey through Sula Cat is anything but a peaceful one. And so now, I think we have to say au revoir and good night from Sula Cat in Old Quebec.
Suggestion of Mrs. A. Lawson,
10,908 Plaza Boulevard, Montreal North. And thank you, Mrs. Lawson. You will receive your prize of $10 within the next few days.
Have you a Canadian oddity to contribute? Something unusual that the Canadian Snapshots audience would be interested to hear about? Something that would be suitable as an actuality for our program?
If you have, write into the Special Events Department of the CBC giving full particulars of your Canadian oddity. A prize of $10 is awarded each week to the person whose suggestion is used. These suggestions should be along the believe it or not line and must be capable of being described in an actuality broadcast.
There are numerous oddities of this kind in Canada, but Canadian Snapshots would like their suggestion to originate with you, its radio audience. The following oddities have already won prizes. A farm within the city of Montreal. a frost-proof garden in Winnipeg, the skim milk rink at Port Arthur, and the narrowest street in Canada in Quebec described for you in tonight's broadcast.
In case of two or more similar suggestions on the same subject, the prize-winning letter will be judged to be that first received.
Address your letters to the CBC Special Events Department, 341 Church Street, Toronto.
Even in wartime, Canada is not neglecting her welcome to visitors.
But the war is just my difficulty. I was seriously thinking of visiting Canada this year, but maybe I'll have trouble with the Canadian immigration officials getting in.
Well, madam, just put those fears to rest. You will not find the procedure of immigration changed since the outbreak of war, as relating to citizens of the United States.
But what about visas and things? Surely it's not as easy as all that.
Visas are not necessary, and it is as easy as all that.
The friendly portals of Canada are open, as always, to her visitors.
Canadian Snapshots has been produced in Toronto. The orchestra, featuring music by a Canadian composer, was directed by Samuel Hersenhorn. Another volume of Canadian Snapshots will be heard next week at the same time. Radio Canada, this is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.